You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Hot Coffee, an interracial romance by Donna R. Mercer. Roman is a playboy, but one too many scandals has put his CEO position in jeopardy. He must find a nice girl one at the board of Hemingway Industries would approve of and get married before the new year. Maya is just the woman he needs with her wholesome queen image. Roman is the one man who has ever held a place in her heart, but she has no plans of marriage, only philanthropy. So Roman must prove his love and earn Kamaya's trust or risk losing it all. Everyone needs a little cream in their hot coffee. An interracial romance by Donna R. Mercer. For more information, visit www.donnarmercer.com. Hot coffee. Get your copy today. Fresh Meat, an interracial erotic romance by best-selling author L. Loren. Spending bike week in Daytona Beach was supposed to be research for an upcoming movie role. Smoke had no idea all the perks of being an undercover biker would offer. He couldn't afford any mistakes, so he took a vow of celibacy. However, fate had other plans. As soon as he arrived, a beautiful little Spitfire sparked his engine, and he threw those vows right out the window. Baby Bird captured his heart in one day. Now his mission is to make her his and claim his own happy ending. Fresh Meat, part of the Lunchtime Chronicles by best-selling author L. Loren. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today. You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering. MahoganySilvering.net. Good evening, everyone. How are you doing? I guess it's really a bit busy day today, but I am so happy to be on. I am your host, Mahogany Silvering of the Mahogany Says Show, and we have a great show tonight. I have another podcaster with me. Her name is Rose C. Say hello, Rose.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Yes, Miss Rosie. She has her own podcast. It's called Mama Life, right?
Yes, it is called Mama Life. It's about the ups and downs of motherhood from, it's like a roller coaster from the crying baby to tantrums and to us mothers feeling overwhelmed and, you know, everything. I just know
yes.
that it's okay. It's okay.
Yes, we literally are in it together. Just as moms are experiencing the same thing and with kids at different levels or stages in life. So how do
yes,
you, go ahead.
And sometimes, like, we do get, overwhelmed, and sometimes it's okay to take a breather and, like, okay, I'm going to step aside and, you know, have a little time to myself. Like, it's okay to step away. I used to feel so guilty when I'm stepping away from my kids. But now I'm like, okay, I just need to step away for a minute or I'm going to go crazy.
Exactly. We all need that little break. Especially when you feel yourself being burned out and then you start yelling at them, and you really, kids remember stuff like that. They really do. My kids even tell me now as adults, they're, no, you always yell out, so I'm not going to yell at my kids because you always yell. So that, definitely, step back, feel yourself getting too mad, take a few minutes, mama needs a time out, right?
Yes,
I found out that really helped.
Yes, you're right. Kids do remember things like that because I know, like, even my five-year-old, like, he brings up stuff from last week. Like, mom, I didn't like it when you yelled at me. I'm like, what? That was, like, last week. And I apologize because he comes up to me.
Yes. I'm quick to call even years later when they say, I didn't really like how you did that. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You know, half the stuff they tell me, I don't even remember. And that's sad because I don't remember, but it stayed with them.
Because we say it and it's like, okay, I saw his and, you know, and we think they get over it, but obviously not.
No, and it stays. I mean, my mother used to yell at me all the time. I don't think it really stayed with me. It's to the point where if someone yelled at me, I didn't go into tears because that's the way I was raised. And my mother, she has a beautiful singing voice, but it's very high. She could have sang opera if she wanted to, so she was loud, most definitely. When she got bronchitis, we were like, ah,
she's not going to yell at us this week. Not to think that, okay, we should be better this week and not make her try to yell. You know, we were just thinking, oh, she can't yell, so let's go.
Oh, no.
You're called the Haitian mama. Are you from Haiti?
Yes, actually, I was born in Haiti. I came here when I was 7. So everything was new to me. I moved to Miami when I was 7. I had to learn English. Actually, they put me back a grade because I had to learn English. I was in ESOL classes.
Oh, wow. So how was that?
It took me a while. It took me a while to learn. And like I said, they did put me back a grade. But once I got it, I got it. And it came natural to me. And it seems like the culture was way different because in Haiti, we used to, you know, we make our own food and stuff. When I first came here, I actually threw up when I ate the food over here. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah, it was something new to me. Like my body was not, you know, in it because we used to make our own food. Made our own peanut butter, like everything was natural. And when I came here, it was like,
yes,
what,
you got
what
preservatives. Yes.
Yeah, so it was different.
Definitely. Wow, I can't even imagine that, coming in and learning a whole new language and just trying to fit in. Did you have a lot of friends?
In elementary school, not really, because I was like all to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Funny story, my parents are Haitian because Haitian parents are strict, let me tell you. I couldn't have that much friends because they always think that people are, you know, are out to get me or people are not at the best intentions, which I didn't understand until I got older and I'm like, oh, that's what they're talking about. Like, when I'm small, I'm like, why can't I have any friends? But, yeah, being with the culture, it was kind of different. I used to write short stories by myself. Because I can't go outside and play, so I'm just like...
Like, I gotta do something. So did writing help you?
Writing actually helped me. I like that because I think when I write, like, my imagination just takes over.
Yes.
Like, I loved it. Right. Like, in middle school, I think I used to have this little book club where I wrote the stories down. I let everybody read it, and they used to tell me what they thought about it, and I got so excited. I was like, yay!
Wow. So have you ever thought about publishing them?
Oh, my God, like... When I was in middle school, I thought about it once because we had this contest. I think we were doing a Planned Parenthood, and I wrote this long story, and I sent it out. And I think the feedback that I got, I was like, ugh, it just brought me down. I'm like, I'm not going to. I'm just not going to do it. Because I think they wanted to change everything because the way I write, I wrote from my mind. It was like everything was slang. And it was like, you got to change this word and this word and this word. I was like, what? The story doesn't show when I got to change my words. So I was like, forget it.
I know. That's the editing part. That's of any writing, that's difficult. Because you're like, but that's not the way I see that story going.
Yeah,
and they change
mind,
it around.
Story is just like, you can't change the character's words. Like, they're not the same if you change the words around.
Right, and it's dialogue. You don't need to edit dialogue. It's the way the character talks. That's what I do when spell check tries to correct me when I'm trying to write the words that the character is speaking. Like, you know what? They have this accent. Leave it alone. I know what I'm doing.
Yes. That's why I tried to tell them, but then I was like, okay, you can't do that. You can't do this. And I started reading urban books, and I'm like, you know what? That's all I was trying to write.
Exactly.
Like, they're all in the urban book.
Yes, exactly. And if you're going to write, you have to stay true to your character. I mean, the other words, okay, the narrative part, yeah, you can, you know, switch whatever. But when you have actual dialogue, yeah, you want to exactly what the character says.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if it's grammatically correct.
Which is,
because that's the character. That's where he or she speaks. So I wrote a Cajun character. She used things like, you know, you're not going to do that, yeah? So I had to write it that way. And my computer was like, no, that's not right. It's like, that's the way he talks.
I mean,
you know,
right,
it always corrects. I'm like, that's not what I wanted to say.
You know, it actually does that when you text too, which always gets me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I started podcasting, because I was sitting there one day, like when I had my second one, and I was sitting there and like, oh my God, I'm going through this, you know, this change. And, you know, I'm a mother of two now. And my second one was driving me crazy, crying all the time. I wonder if all mothers are going through this. And so I was like, you know what, maybe I should start, you know, a podcast about it and about my experiences and about, you know, what I'm really going through.
Right.
Not the good things about, you know, children, not the, you know, playing around with them, but also the difficult things, like trying to get them to go to sleep, trying to get them to stop crying, and trying to get them to stay still. So, difficult.
Yes, I remember those days. They're very, very difficult. I have 4 grandchildren now, and I think, the oldest one, she is 8 years old, and then we have the youngest one, and it's a little boy, and he was born last September, so there's little stair steps in there. They're all into different things when they come over. One wants to watch TV, one wants to do this, and one wants to color, and the other wants to play, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit here, you go over here, you go over there, and you go over there, because so, they're all on different levels. It's like, okay, in grandma's house, we just play, that's it, you know. Your grandma.
I don't think grandmas will spoil their children. It's different from, you know, your own kids. You just have to spoil the grandchildren.
Yeah, I know, because their parents are like, hey, you didn't let me do that. Okay, well, they're not you. this is my grandbaby. They can do that.
But the thing is, you can give them back anytime you want.
Yep. Fill them up with sugar and send them home.
Oh, yes.
And then they got that sugar crash, you know, they get tired. So,
that's my favorite part, actually, is when they go to sleep.
Yeah. Yes, because then you're like, I can rest now. You can breathe.
Oh, my God.
So they follow you everywhere, and, you know, you can't go to the bathroom by yourself.
I cannot. And they even follow me around the house. Like, I'm like, why are you still following me? Like, the door to my bathroom stays open. And when I close it, my 5-year-old knows how to open doors. So he opens the door and starts talking to me. And it's like you can't even eat without them being under you and asking for your food.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, why haven't I lost, you know, a lot that much weight? Because I'm giving away my food every day.
You're giving away your food. they could have eaten already, but they said you were something. Oh, I want some.
Mama's got it. Feed them first.
It doesn't matter. My goodness. So there was an episode on your show, because I've been listening to it. I believe it was The Confessions of a Quarantine Mom. And that was hilarious. I love that episode.
Oh, my God. It's crazy being locked up with them. Mm-hmm. Well, it's really crazy being locked up in quarantine with 3 kids, especially when they're, like, running around. And you can't take them anywhere just so they could calm down. I mean, occasionally we go to the park, but we have to come right back home again. So being there with them, they're running around. My 1-year-old, we're trying to potty train him, taking off his diaper by himself and peeing all over the place. That's what I had to go through. And at one point, like the other day, I think he pooed in his diaper, and then he reached in there and got it out. And I'm looking at his hand like, "What do you have in your hand?" He came near me with a baby in my arms. I'm like, you know,
he's like, "Don't touch me."
I almost died. I almost died. And what he does now is, if he sees like a roach, like we don't have a lot of roaches, like one little bug on the floor, he picks it up. One day he picked the roach up and just put it in my hand. I screamed. I swear to God, I screamed so loud. I was like, he put a bug on me. It was crazy.
I had a cousin who used to do that, but she would eat the roach.
Really? Oh, my God. That's insane.
My mom panicked so bad because she didn't know what to do with her. She's like, trying to call the poison help, like she ate a bug. You take her to the ER. You know those big, fat water bugs? Yeah. It's like she just picked it up and, crunchy.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. That's crazy.
I know. All the other kids are running for the bug. She picks it up. Oh, my goodness.
It is never a dull moment with kids. Especially during quarantine, it's never a dull moment.
What was a typical day like for you, besides the boo-boo and the body training?
Oh, my gosh. Like, I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and my 1-year-old sleeps in his own room. He has his own room, but he likes to come in a bed. So at 5 o'clock, he comes in a bed. 5:30, we have to feed him his oatmeal, because for some insane reason, he eats breakfast every day at 5:30 in the morning.
Wow.
It's crazy.
5:30. That's early.
Yes, 5:30 in the morning. And then my 5-month-old wakes up, and he's hungry, too. They wake up at the same time, which is crazy because I swear their schedules will sync together. And then my 5-year-old wakes up at the same time, too, right after the 2 wakes up. And
right,
it's so hard for
up.
Me to get ready in the morning because I get ready by 12:01. That's when I have some free time when they're taking their little naps to get ready.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And sometimes I have to wait until my husband is, you know, out of his office so I could say, okay, I need to get ready for the day because they've been driving me up the walls all day long.
That's crazy.
Go ahead. I thought that me taking a year off was easy, and I was like, you know what? I could be a stay-at-home mom because I've seen other moms do it. But I tell you, that is the hardest job in the world, and I underestimated how hard it was.
Especially with two babies and diapers. Yep.
Oh, my God, yes. Yep. I underestimated how hard it was. And I guess the universe was trying to tell me something because I kept saying I want twins. And then right when I got pregnant,
that's pretty
the universe
close.
Was
yeah.
like, see? Yeah.
You got one right after the
Yes,
one
I did.
Twins,
I'm like, the universe was really trying to tell me something.
So those two are probably really close. Well, yeah, they even wake up at the same time. So it's already started.
It has. It's crazy.
Wow. So the 5-year-old, is it a girl or a boy?
It's a boy. I have 3 boys. Crazy.
Oh, you have 3 boys. Oh, all of them are boys.
Yes, I know.
Goodness. Boys are cute when they're little, but yeah.
I know they
you
are
got
cute
3.
When they're little.
They don't say that way, especially when they start feeling themselves, I tell you. You can't tell them nothing.
No, you can't. Definitely not. Especially my 5-year-old. Jeez.
Oh, goodness. Well, no, I think boys they're still a lot of fun, though. And at least they're a little more inclined to be good to mom because I have 4 girls. So it was a lot of estrogen. In this house.
Yeah, that's a different dynamic. That's a different dynamic.
Definitely.
Wow.
I was gonna say, I've seen a lady, she's got 5 boys, one of the ladies in her church. And, they're just wow. I think the youngest one is in middle school, but the rest are in high school. So they're all like stare
steps. Oh, wow.
It's like, ooh, it's a lot of boys. But she gets them right on. She's right on it. You know, they're not crazy. They're really good boys. I mean, you know, they're still like the average boy or whatever. But they, when it's time to get serious, they can get serious. She does a really good job. And she's a single mom. I got to hand it to her.
Oh, nice.
That's a lot of respect.
Wow.
Yes.
That is a lot of respect.
Mm-hmm. That's a, yes.
Oh, nice.
She's doing it by herself.
Oh, my God, that's a lot of respect, especially raising boys. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, I work with the youth at church, so they're into a lot of our plays and stuff. But, I mean, they're good kids. I mean, they don't do, you know, off-the-wall stuff. At least I haven't seen them do anything like that. But they're pretty good kids, so I'm going to say she's definitely, I was like, yes, you are the queen, because I could not do that. I thought 4 girls, was, you know, I had 4 girls and 2 boys, so, yeah. But being cooped up with everybody.
Yeah, I heard boys are easier, depending.
Yeah, there's that little depend thing. But at least, I'd say I have a good relationship with my son. He knows when I'm upset. If I say something, I come back and apologize. You know, and then he'll kind of calms down. But, yeah, he's a pretty good kid, too.
Yeah, sons do love their mothers. I think that's what I like the best. I always get the biggest hugs.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I like about it.
Oh, see, yeah, you got 3 boys that'll look after you too when they get older. So that's a good thing.
Oh my God, I hope so.
I'm doing all this for something. I got to get something out of this, right?
Yes, all this work, all this making up early.
So are you going to continue to stay home or like in quarantine's
that's
over?
A big one. I was thinking about going back to work right when quarantine is over, but it's the daycare and, you know, getting there. But my 5-year-old
is in school.
So I just have to get the 2 to the daycare. So my 5-year-old is going to kindergarten this year. So yay.
Ah.
Hopefully not virtual because virtual pre-K drove me crazy.
I can imagine. I homeschooled and my son was in kindergarten and he had a speech impediment, so he had to get a speech therapist through the computer. So he told me now, he said, I used to pretend like I couldn't hear her, so you would like play with the microphone and I had to cancel it. I was like, are you serious? He said, said, yeah, I didn't want to talk to her. I'm like, wow, now you tell me.
That would be something my son would do.
But he actually did really well with it, and he does not have that anymore. He can say his everything the way it's supposed to be said now. So,
that was wonderful.
Yeah, it worked. But yeah, it's hard because you actually had to sit there with them because they're younger and go over things.
I know, over
again. Repetition. I was like, I cannot be an elementary school teacher. I give them props because no.
I know. Like I said, when they go back to school, I got to bring presents for all the teachers because now I know what they went through.
Exactly. They deserve every acclamation. They deserve a raise. They need to make basketball players money. They really do. Dealing with children all day. And then not only that, dealing with parents.
Because
that little bad seed had to come from somewhere, you know?
Mm-hmm. And we didn't understand it until now.
Exactly. Yes.
When we told them, going back in, you don't know my child. Now we know.
Mm-hmm. Teacher needs a huge award.
Yes.
I say, especially elementary.
And some apologies for the parents that always come into the school yelling at them about this.
And you only had to deal with one or two. You know, they have a whole classroom, like 25 kids. So, yes, can only imagine. So when he goes to school, the five-year-old, are you going to just have the two babies at home? Do you have, like, a certain routine with them?
I'm going to have the one baby at home and the other at daycare. I'm just going to have both at daycare and just, you know, try to get a job. If that works like that. If it doesn't, then I'll just keep both of them at home.
Yes, because daycares and things started opening up here, and there were two kids, I think, that were positive for COVID. And
oh, geez.
They were supposed to shut the daycare down, but they didn't. They just shut that class down. And I'm like, okay, but the kid plays and around other things.
With the schools, I'm like, this is going to be crazy.
Yeah, because I know little ones that young, they're not going to wear a mask. I'm sorry. They're just not. They're going to touch everything.
Are you going to tell kindergartners they have to keep their mask on for the whole entire day when they can't even keep bows on their heads?
No. Exactly. I didn't expect them to do that. Because schools are like, we're going to open, but we have all these safety protocols in place, and they're going to have to wear a mask. I'm like, okay, I can see middle school and high school, but elementary, you know, and pre-K and kindergarten? Teacher, I'm hot. I'm taking it off. You know, there it goes.
There goes the complaining.
And they cough and sneeze. And they just touch something over here, pick up a book, pick up a toy, whatever. There it goes.
Oh, my God. Touch everything. And kids don't think, like, to just go out their hands. They touch everything before on their way to the bathroom. They're touching everything.
This is walk, touch the hall. Yep. Run their hand along the wall where they walk in. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the country handles school being back in session. Because here, they give you the choice to send your kid to school or have online learning. But because I homeschooled for 6 years, my son is like, I'm going to school. Give me a mask.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not
doing
this.
But then my five-year-old misses his friends, and he's like, oh, I want to go to school. And I'm like,
yeah. I mean,
I have to think about it. And plus, when he was doing pre-K work, he was really doing kindergarten work. So I don't want to set him back because he already knows how to read. I'm like, I just take my teachers and just send you to school so you can learn more and advance more where you are because he could read everything now.
Wow. See, that's great. And he's only 5 years old. That's really good.
Yeah, he's five. I can't even put my phone around him or he'll probably read all my text messages. Crazy.
No. Smart kid. It's like, let me see that. You want to read everything. There you go. Yeah, I should go back and let him have some fun with kids. You just pray over them and send them, right?
Yeah.
See what happens.
My husband won't mess up. I'm just putting him out of the school. One little mess up. One case, and he's coming out.
That's right. Yep. Come home sneezing. Come home coughing. He's not going back to school. That's what I'm saying.
He's not going back.
No, he's not going back.
So I'm like, I got two little ones at home. And it's like, no, we're not trying to spread everything around.
Oh, yeah. So you definitely have to be careful. And I'm allergic to bleach. I actually couldn't deal with everything being wiped down with bleach because I would break out. I start wheezing and coughing, and so I had to use like Lysol or something.
I'm not allergic to bleach,
but I just
can't take that smell. I don't like the smell.
And I have this sensitive nose that I can smell stuff like a mile away almost. Just, you know, like a dog, you sniff the air and I get all these different smells. And I can tell what somebody's picking
like
from across
nose.
The street. Yes, but I thought that was something that was, nope, it's been like that my entire life. During pregnancy, it was really enhanced, but it was like, I know what you ate. No, it's come over school off the bus. Go, you need to hit the shower right now. Did you use deodorant today? They hadn't even gotten in the house yet. Call me the nose of a dog. That's what my son says. Why is that nose like a dog?
But that's what I'm saying. We got everything super.
We had hand sanitizer, and it was funny because everybody used to tease me about my little scented ones from Bath & Body Works that are 60% alcohol. I said, ain't nobody teasing me now.
I see your scented ones.
Yeah, everybody's using this regular hand sanitizer. Hands all drying out. Mine has aloe in it, and it smells good.
Oh, I need that for my hands. Oh.
Bath & Body Works actually ran out, like, in April.
They did?
Yes. I tried to order online, and it's like, just, they're out of stock because
everybody started buying it. Like, Amazon even ran out. I tried to get my Amazon, and it's like, no way.
Somebody was hoarding this stuff. You know, like the guy that was, he stocked up and put everything in his garage, and then he was selling it to people, like taking advantage. Because,
oh, geez.
Yeah. Everybody's trying to go, there's no toilet paper, there's no paper plate, and there's no sanitizer. There was no Lysol. I mean, it's like we had to get, literally, hey, I found
That's
some at this
crazy.
Thing. You know, we couldn't even find the sanitizer to wash your clothes with. I think it's like a Lysol brand, but yeah. If you've been outside, you could come home and you wash your clothes because you've been outside or whatever. And that was instantly gone. Go to the store, none of that stuff was there. There were no wipes, nothing. I'm like,
people were like really, really taking things out. That was crazy.
What was all the toilet paper for? I don't get it.
That's what I kept asking. I was like, why did you guys need a large amount of toilet paper? That was just crazy.
What is that going to do?
That was a crazy supply.
If you want to hoard something, hoard something you actually need because, you know, you got a washcloth.
Like water.
Yeah, water, food.
They could have gotten water.
Canned goods, something. But no, y'all took off with the toilet paper. All the paper products.
When people
literally,
really
it was,
needed it.
Yeah. I had to find paper towels. I had to hunt and go different stores. Got my mouth trying to figure out who has paper towels. And then, like, if one of our friends, she finds it, she'll text me and say, hey, so-and-so over here has got, you know, we're like in this little area. She's like, no, it's over. It's like 25 miles away. They think that's cross town. It's a small town. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, I was like, 25 miles away. That's crazy.
Yeah, I said, like, yeah, because nothing in a 5-10 mile radius had anything, you know.
Oh my god, okay,
what is this? It was hilarious here. People just trip. But then when what's his name, George Floyd was killed, everybody got their mask on and protested. And here it was cool to see because the chief and the police were walking with them.
Oh, really?
And yes. And we had both chiefs from our sister city that came and walked with us. I didn't walk, but, you know, it was here and I saw everybody just come out together. And I'm like, okay, I realize that, you know, we're still under quarantine, but everybody going out there with their masks. And my daughter, she made a poster and everybody said it was very peaceful. There was no drama. There was nothing like that. The police were very supportive.
Oh, that was
the
good.
Mayor, everything.
Peaceful mask. That was good.
Yes. They all got together and they did it several times. And it was, everybody stopped and they blocked off the street. Everybody was, there was no fighting. There was none of that. It was very peaceful.
Oh, wow. It was for where you were. See? That was good.
We're in a little small town.
Peaceful
protest. You know? Yeah. Because this is like Georgia. You couldn't get more Southern. But everybody, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, we're all standing together.
I like that. Because the whole incident was just sad.
It really was.
And being that I got three boys, it was even, it made me even sadder. And I'm like, really? And I can't even explain it to them now because they're like so small. And they're so little and they think everybody's good and, you know, I'm going to do anything. And it's like, okay, I'm going to let you preserve your innocence and just try my hardest to keep it like that until you get older and I have to have the talk with you, which Yeah, the talk. We have to have the talk. It's not like we're talking about the bird and the bees. We're having to talk about, okay, what do you do when a cop stops you?
Exactly.
Which is ridiculous. And it really makes me scared for them when they grow up. Okay, be careful when you go out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make any sudden moves when your car stops because mom wants you home because I didn't spend, you know, 9 months baking you and labor with you just for 1 second for you to get taken away and nobody pays the consequences because that hurts.
Yes, and it's sad that we have to explain to our sons, you know, and our daughters, really, because it's any of us. There were several women that were killed as well. So, yeah, you have to cooperate. And it's odd because I thought, well, when I first moved here, it was the first time I actually experienced racism up close because I grew up in Texas, but I'm from New Orleans. But I had never experienced anything like that until I moved here. It was weird. I mean, my daughter was, she was called a, yeah. My daughter, she's very dark-skinned, beautiful dark-skinned. And we went to I think it was the WIC office. And the lady that said that, she goes, oh, I just love colored babies. They're so cute. And look at her dimples. And I said, what'd you say?
Wow.
What color is it? Okay.
Colored. Wow.
Yeah, and it wasn't like she was an old woman. She was a younger woman. So I said, you know, this is,
oh my God,
like I said, deep south. You couldn't get any more southern. But she wasn't rude. She wasn't being mean. It's just she thought that was okay because that's what she grew up with.
That is.
Yeah. I had never heard that, you know, just something I saw on TV in the 50s. But no, it's 2002. Colored?
Mm-hmm. That's how, you know, how some people think race isn't really inexistent when, you know, when it's real out there, like when it's really real, like people are racist. Like we think it's not because they try so well to hide it. But at one point, they don't seem to want to hide it anymore. And
they only take so much and then it just, you know, they show it. Right. Honestly, I'd rather them just be straight up. Okay, I don't like hidden because you don't know who you're dealing with. But the ones who are loud and proud, okay, I know what I'm dealing with then. But it's the sneaky ones that don't think, you
know. Yeah, it's the ones that are quiet you should be worried.
Yeah, because the ones that are loud, we know what they're up to. But, you know, the hidden ones, the closet ones, no. That's when it's most dangerous. But it's funny, you still have the Dixie flag and, you know, everywhere. It's on our state flag. And I think a few years ago, they tried to get it to change, but it never happened. So they let it go, I guess. But I guess with all the protesting now, maybe they might.
Yeah,
I think they'll probably change it now because it means something to people who were living that time. And it's not just the rebel flag. It's what it meant.
Yeah. And hopefully it's not just, you know, they're talking to make us be quiet and, you know, feel better.
Yes.
They're going to do it for real.
Placate
so sometimes
like,
I think
okay,
they're
well,
they just, yeah, well, just so they could say, okay,
we're
going to talk and maybe they'll simmer down and they'll stop, you know, rioting, they'll stop talking about the issue. But, you know, we never forget.
Well, we can't. We're reminded it every day. We know, you know, so it's not something that, okay, yeah, it's cool to be black in February, but you know, I'm black all year round, so you can't, you know.
Yeah, like we're reminded every time we look at ourselves in the mirror, and every time we go out, we're reminded too, because we might not see it, but they're still looking at us.
Oh, well, yeah.
And trying to judge us every step of the way.
Exactly. And you're never sure, you know, just sometimes they're nice to you and you know it secretly, they don't want to, you know, deal with you. But it's not, you know, it's like, well, why do you have to put on there that black is beautiful? Why do you have to say that? Because we've been put down for everything about us, everything, culture, hair, skin. So when we start saying and being proud of ourselves, that doesn't mean that we're anti-white. But I think that's what the fear is, that we'll get so bold that, you know, we'll want to start a revolution. But that's not it at all. You know, trying to be proud of who we are as a people and where we come from. Yeah, that's something we need. Culture's been torn from us. None of us know Swahili. We live here. We're from every different tribe in Africa, but we have never learned any of the languages. We don't know it.
That's so true.
I recently did my genetics testing to see where my ancestors came from, and it was Nigeria.
Oh, wow.
And the Sierra Leone. And I'm thinking, wow, and I don't know the language, I don't know the culture, nothing.
That's amazing. amazing. Wow.
And also, I think, Barbados. Because I was only 33% African, period, and the rest is 51% European. And I'm like, how am I more European than I am black? But it's funny, it was interesting to find out the mix. It was Italian, French, and I believe German. So it was interesting to see that.
Oh, wow. I always wanted to take a test like that. That is so cool.
Yeah. I used a CRI Genetics, and it's really affordable, too. And they mail it right to you, and you do two swabs, one on each cheek, and you put it back in there, and the postage is paid. You just put it back in the mail, and they get it. They have a website. You can keep track of when they get it, what they're doing, which test they're doing it. And it traced back 10 generations. It was awesome.
Oh, wow.
To find
That's
out
exciting.
Where my
wow.
earliest, yeah, where your my earliest ancestor is someone called Mindy, who was Sierra Leone. And I'm like, wow. And my mother's side, they mapped my mother and her mother. So it was like, it's just she didn't know what her past was because her mother was dropped off on the doorstep of my great grandmother. So she was adopted, but nobody knew where she came from. So it was neat to find out that my mother's side came from Ethiopia.
Oh my goodness.
And she didn't even know that. She had no clue. But they traced my mother's genealogy through her mother and her mother and down to all the way to Ethiopia.
That is so amazing. And I think everybody needs to do that just so we can know, you know, where we really come from and, you know, our ancestors.
Exactly.
Everybody
and get a chance to know your culture. So now I can actually say I am Nigerian. It's really awesome to say that. Or 15% Afro-Caribbean from Barbados. So I can claim that too, and Germany and France and Italy. Oh, like, wow.
Yeah, my husband's family is actually from Barbados.
Wow, really? See, I've always wanted to go.
Because we went to Barbados in June, last summer, so before I got pregnant. Well, I was pregnant. Before I got pregnant with my third one.
Yeah, we enjoyed that trip, didn't we?
That was a crazy trip.
Well, it must have been good.
Okay.
That's a good thing. And there's nothing wrong with that because, you know, if the child is here, that means they were meant to be here. So I never look at it as, it's an inconvenience. What am I going to do? Unexpected blessings is what I call it.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I was pregnant with the third one. I was like, well, maybe God didn't want me to go back to work. So
he just wanted
me to stay home. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, actually, because you have the three, they do have social interaction. So you can't say, well, you're home by yourself with one kid and the kid doesn't get any social interaction with the kid his own age, because you have that. I mean, they have each other.
Oh, yeah, they do have each other.
So they're really not.
They play so well together.
And that's a good thing.
Well, except for the sharing part.
Yeah. That's the, typical father. Once I touch it, it's mine. Or even if I put it down, it's still mine.
Yeah, and I have a Scorpio, so he's like, he's fighting all over the place, so.
Oh, yeah, well, busy. But I know boys are a little, they're a little more playful than girls.
They are playful, very, jumping from couch to couch, running around the house.
Exactly.
And I'm like, when is this whole quarantine thing going to be over?
So you guys are still in full lockdown in Florida?
We're not in full lockdown because people go out. Like, they just wear masks when they do. Like, we're not fully locked down. And right now they're thinking about, you know, when they want to start opening school, whether it's like August 10th or a little later in the week of August. So
yeah, I don't know why they made the kids go back to school.
I just stay in the house because I want to be like, I'm a conscious person. So I'm like, I'm not going to go out because, you know, you never know what could happen. And I don't want to get
Yeah, that's true. I'll stay in. I mean, I sit here and write anyway. And you can write a book and a guide for women, you know, how to do with things and how to keep the kids occupied. And when you have your downtime, that'll be perfect for you because you said it's also a good way for you to express how you're feeling and things that you're dealing with. And then other women can not feel alone because they see someone else is going through it. So I think that would be a good idea.
I've been trying to do that, but I have so many journals that I start writing in. And I'll stop. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy. And that's why I start like podcasting, because I'm like, when they go to bed, I could just go in the bathroom, close the door, and just be by myself and just talk.
Yes. See, that's a great thing to do.
Yeah, because I like to talk anyway. So I'm like, why don't I just talk on the phone so everybody can hear me and know my struggles and know what I'm going through? Because I know every mom goes through what I go through. And I just want them to know that they're not alone.
Yes, exactly. And that's a great thing, you know, and you've got the Mama Life podcast, and that one thing that women can listen to and say, okay, you know, yes, and laugh when the things that you go through, like we were sitting here laughing, because it is funny when they do stuff. I know it's not funny at the time, especially because, like, I had one of my little ones. I thought you were going to tell me when he stuck his hand in there that he smeared it on the wall, because my little one did that.
Oh, geez, no, no. Thank God he didn't do that.
The 21-year-old, 21 now, she used to dig it in over.
Oh,
well, she was, and she's the artist, she's the painter. Like, she started early.
Oh, okay. She started early.
I was just waiting for you to say that. I was like, oh, no, she's got one too. My little Picasso of poo, you know.
Oh, geez. She started early.
She started early, yep.
See the creativity in it when she started. But
at the time, you know, I just like, oh, my God, what are you doing? You know, like, she's just laughing and, like, standing in the crib. And just, she wasn't crying or anything. She's so quiet. I thought she was still asleep. But I came to peek at her, and, nope, she was making her a little mural on the wall.
I know. I always worry when my kids are so quiet. I'm like, they're probably up to something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the
quiet. Too quiet
in the house.
Yeah. I get suspicious. We used to get suspicious, and like, oh, wait a minute, it's too quiet. Let me go see. And I busted them many a times, writing on the wall, Marian Boo Boo, using my lipstick, lipstick all over the face, clothes, the back seat of the car.
Oh my God,
you know,
that's crazy.
On the way home from church, so she's got church clothes on, red lipstick.
Not on the way home from church, because
my purse,
from
I put the purse. Yeah, I said I'm gonna put my purse in a different section because I put it back there with her. So I wouldn't have to worry about it being in the front with me because it was hidden. It wasn't hidden to her because she'd been and dig through it and pulled out my lipstick and was having fun. We were all over her face and it got her clothes.
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
And then she decided to draw on the back of the seat. Like,
oh no.
It was just, the
now
lipstick was not
she?
Coming out. She was
two.
That's my oldest. Yes, she was. I'm like, no. That dress was so cute, too.
I actually made an episode about the terrible twos, too.
Oh, really?
Yes, about how crazy it is and how crazy they act in that stage.
Wow.
And I don't think they really get over that terrible stage because it goes through the threes, too.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some threes that are still having terrible twos. They just, it depends on their development and how they look at things and how they process things. Because a lot of kids are like that. They process things differently. That's then when, say, when I was growing up. So I kind of have to take that into.
They do, because I see my one-year-old.
Yeah,
when
like
he doesn't
smarter.
Get something like his way, he gets frustrated. And it's like, okay, calm down. See, I'm headbutting my five-year-old. I'm like, okay, we need to tone this down because I know you're frustrated about something.
Exactly. And we have to pay attention and not just like, oh, that's just he's just bad. No, they're acting out for a reason.
They're frustrated about something. You just don't know what they're frustrated about.
Exactly. And see, I was a young mom. I started early. I was pregnant at 19, and my oldest daughter was born. I was 20. So I hadn't learned a whole lot. I babysat kids, and I was going to school for early childhood education. So I kind of got some tips from there, but at the same time, this was a 24/7 job. Yeah, it was interesting when she was little. But like I said, just so much
imagine.
Has changed.
Oh, my God.
So yeah, I've been a mother for
all
of my adult life.
Because I think, like, moms now worry about things that moms back then really didn't, you know, worry about.
Yes, we didn't have to worry about our kids being bullied online and in person. We didn't have that issue. It carries over because, you know, now they got to face, you know, trolls that saying all kinds of things about them, but all the schools connected, they're in the same group, and then the next thing you know, it's plastered all over the internet. You know, it's like a different, totally different. Everybody's so connected, it's a different struggle for them. I do not envy these kids at all. We are in the digital age where everything is electronic. However, for them, it's more. They're exposed to so much more that we were not exposed to at that age, and that's the one thing that was kind of scary. But so you know, I try to stay on top of it.
Scary.
See, what they're watching, what they're doing, who they're hanging out with, who they're talking to. And it's not being intrusive. It's just because they're hit with so much information, you want to know what's going on with them. Even because my 8-year-old granddaughter, there are things that, you know, I let her play with my tablet. Next thing I know, she's watching something. I'm like, whoa, give me that. But, you know, it's totally different now. You really have to monitor everything because there is so much that can
get
you.
Yeah, you can't just, like, stick them in a room and say, here, watch this. You have to know what they're watching because one minute they're watching something, next minute they switch to something.
Yep. They get bored, they switch it, go to something else. And I know we've got the parental controls, but at the same time, you know, they're picking my phone. Well, my phone doesn't have parental control because I'm the parent. So, yeah. And before you know, because even if it's a cartoon or whatever, but I started looking at this cartoon, I was like, that cartoon is not for kids. Give me that. Little cartoon girl is cursing. I'm like, that's not for children. I know that's a cartoon. That's no.
That's crazy. And some cartoons are like that. You think they're for kids, and then one little word from her, you're like, oh, wait a minute. What are you watching?
Exactly. What are you watching? But I pray over them. I send them out. I can't be everywhere they are. So I, it's like, okay, God, send your angels to go right there with them, because I can't be there. So I know, and it is scary to send them out into this world with everybody not liking their skin color or not everybody agreeing.
Oh my God.
They're supposed to take on these challenges. And in my family, there's some, like I said, there's so much mixture of races, but so we're all different shades. So I think it's a beautiful thing with, you know, black people. We have all these different beautiful colors that we have that are in our culture, but we're still seen as different. Even though it should be more acceptable now, there's still things that are not. But anyway, I have enjoyed talking with you and getting to know you and listening to your show, which I like to. So I subscribe. So for everyone listening, I'm talking with Rosie of Mama Life. She's the Haitian mama. And where can they listen to you at, Rose?
Oh, I'm on every platform. I'm on Apple, if you have Apple Podcasts, if you have Spotify, if you have Podbean, if you have Google. Everywhere you listen on podcasts, I'm on there. I'm also on iHeartRadio. So
yes. I'm on Spotify. Any platform. Yes, so I listen to you on Spotify.
Yes,
so I subscribe to you on Spotify because I don't have an Apple phone. So I don't have an Apple ID. So my podcast is on there, but I can't listen to it. So I use Spotify.
But yes, you can find me on Spotify.
And are you on Anchor as well?
I am on Anchor, definitely. I started on Anchor because it was free. So
yes.
Yes,
and they give you a lot of neat tools too to edit and everything. So I like it. So,
but they do. I use it on my phone because I'm not too computer savvy. But my phone is.
But I like Anchor because I can actually edit.
That's,
yeah,
that's such a great platform.
Well, thank you all for listening to Mahogany Says tonight, and thank you, Rose T, for joining us. And I hope you enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me. And I did enjoy our conversation. Oh, my goodness.
Yes,
we had
have
some
to
laughs.
Keep in touch.
It was fun.
Yes. Definitely. So, all right. Be tuned listening in for next week coming up. That was really exciting. So I wish you all a good evening. Blessings, peace, and love. Been listening to Mahogany Says with Mahogany Silverain at mahoganysilverain.net. Thank you and good night.